Hey guys, so normally I know you're seeing a pillow talk come across the free feed, and normally we don't do pillow talks except for our premium subscribers. However, today Kit and I started a conversation that turned pretty heavy, and we ended up turning on the microphones midway through the conversation just because, the show that came out yesterday, Kit is in the house when we're recording that, and she had so much to say, and she was angry when I got done recording that show. She was angry. She was out walking the dogs, and I could just see the anger and the, not necessarily angry at us, but just because she wanted to have a voice. She wanted to say something. So because we were already having the conversation, the mics came on and you guys get another episode of Pillow Talk. And due to the climate, I think it's very fitting that we release this one for everyone to hear. If you want to hear more Pillow Talks, all you have to do is subscribe to the premium subscription. It's $5 a month. You can go to raresinus.com/register and you can hear many, many more of these. Most of the time, they're funny because we're in love and we like, playing with each other. But this particular time is not funny at all. So what follows is an episode of Pillow Talk.
Been posts about things that we are seeing online and we haven't really been talking about it.
How are you feeling about it now, today?
Heavy. Like, I feel like I have weights on me. Somewhat emotional because, we now have a kid that wants to protest. So it, makes me almost want to cry because, she wants to protest the injustice, but at the same time, it's like, I know that she's going into the place where, the police who hurt people are, the police who, everybody's there, the good cops and the bad cops, So it's just.
What part of you wants to go?
Go to protest?
Mm-hmm.
Right now, no part, because I don't feel like it's a peaceful thing anymore. I think that if it was a peaceful protest, that I would be happy to go. But I also think that we have so many ways that we can support, the resistance against the social injustice and things like that. I posted it on my social media that the road to resistance isn't a one lane highway. There's people who protest, there's people who do community outreach, there's people who do counseling, there's people who, so I don't think that anybody should feel bad about not wanting to go protest, because you can't speak up for the problems.
Wait a minute. You can't say that. If you're saying that protest is not a one lane street, then they are protesting. They're just not
resistance.
They're just not at the protest site. Protesting is not going along with. So if you're not going along, you can do that from anywhere.
Right. I was saying the road of resistance. So I feel like I don't support police brutality or social injustice or, unbalanced crimes against minorities or black people or just the way that our shit is set up. Like, to me, it's obviously unbalanced. I just think that I don't feel the urge to go out and protest and put myself in harm's way when I think I can do more good potentially in another way.
Right.
So,
and I think that's what's lost on a lot of people also, is that once this does happen, once whatever happens, and kind of what we got into on the show, the last show, was that once it does happen, then what? Like, what's the plan for the next morning?
Well, see, I don't necessarily know how I feel about that part of the conversation, because I feel like we are not necessarily the ones that have to make the change. Like, we can spark the change, but it's not us that have to change our behavior. So the then what is not on us. The once we do this and we bring everything to the forefront, and you
who's
can
us,
see,
not on us.
Hypothetically, black people, minorities, or whatever the case may be. Yes, we have to keep up our part of the, hey, it becomes a talk at that point.
Can I give you an analogy?
Yeah, of course.
Imagine if your kids didn't like something that was happening in the household, right? Mm-hmm. And so they just started destroying shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, it's not up to us to fix. They broke everything that you've built as their parent. You've built this entire house, this entire life, this entire ecosystem around them. And they decide that they want to just burn that to the ground because they're not happy with how it's happening. Then they say, okay, now it's up to you guys to rebuild that. It's up to you guys to put, you see what I'm saying?
I think that's a terrible analogy.
Why?
Because we built the country.
No.
Yeah. No. I think that it's, if it was one thing, if it was something that you and your kids built something together, and then they decided that, you know, you decided once it was built, they just pushed you out of it, or you started, you know, letting you use it less or whatever the case may be. So then they were just like, okay, well, fuck it. I'm about to just break this thing or whatever the case. That's a different conversation than you built all of this. You did all of this. You put this life together for your children, and now they want to rebel against you and say, Right. Okay, so what are you going to do now?
I'm talking more along the lines of the leadership part of it, because that's what I'm speaking about. And you're saying that it's not up to Black people to be the leadership once it's all happened.
That's not what I was saying.
That is what you said. You said that it's up to somebody else to take care of that now.
No, I was saying that I think that when it comes to that, when we think about the what's next, yes, we have things that we have to do to try to figure out, like, okay, once the opportunities are, you know, once some of these roadblocks are getting out of the way, what are we going to do? How are we going to proceed forward? But at the same time, us doing this is to get the other side to do something. And so I'm saying the what's next is not just on us. Like, it has to be after this happens, they are the ones who have to start making some movement and start making some changes. And then from there, then we can kind of like collectively move in the same direction.
Here's what I don't want you to do. I don't want you to be defensive because you think I'm combating things that you're saying, because we totally align. I'm not for squashing protest or squashing whatever.
Neither am I. Yeah, so I know that. I'm just saying I want to make sure that...
You just said that. Let me say what I was going to say.
All right.
I don't want you to be defensive in meaning that you start feeling like, well, now I got to protect what I'm saying because he's coming for me. I'm not coming for you. Mm-hmm. But what I do want, though, is for us to take a long, hard look at what we're saying we want, mm-hmm. and then be realistic about what our part in that is. And I don't think it's fair for us to say we're sick of this, tear it down, but then not also be very, very upfront about the rebuild or about the process that it requires to move to the next step. We can't just say you guys need to make a change, because honestly, I agree with that. Honestly, we're putting ourselves back in the exact same situation. I think the liberals are sometimes worse than the conservatives. So we're going to burn it down. Yeah. We're going to burn it down and let the liberals take control. Hey, we want you guys to react. So we're doing this so you guys will pay attention to us, the other side or whatever. And I don't know that I'm comfortable still letting another group of almost conservatives, because they're not that far away, you know what I'm saying? I don't know that I'm comfortable with another group of people that don't look like me making the next step once they realize the wrongs.
Okay, so when it comes to that, like, a very strong opinion that I have in regards to all of this as far as, like, next steps is... Again, to my point of, like, when I said the road to resistance is not a one-lane highway. I think that, you know, we have to do things to stop some of this, like, this crazy behavior. And when I say crazy, let me elaborate. I mean, like, so we need counseling, you know, for, like, our young people. We need proper education. We need, you know, like... to have people not just like wanting to be out here doing crazy stuff, but also in positions where they have to be. So for example, like, I regularly try to do, you know, like community outreach, homeless feeding, stuff with children or whatever the case may be, because I want to give a homeless person a meal so they don't have to steal one. You know what I mean? Like, and I think that all of those things are important to this next step. So I think that, you know, when we're saying like, what's the plan? I think it's not just like for the whole big, like the, it seems as if you're approaching it from like a picture of like the government and the structure, and not necessarily looking at like on a smaller scale, like what are these little smaller things that we're going to do to try to help our community just like heal some of these like wounds that we have and get some of us like off of the ground. And I know that it's not just Black people that are struggling, it's poor people in general, but you know, like some,
well, no,
poor people are struggling as well. Like,
what, you know? I'm concerned with that idea is that it's so small. So the idea here is that, and I'm saying Black people generally, Black people want to rip shit up,
mm-hmm.
protest,
mm-hmm.
point their finger at fuck 12. Hold on. Not all, but it's part of it. So we have to include it. It's part of it.
Okay, but wait. I also think that it's not as, Black people are not so... tearing stuff up as they're trying to make it seem. Like, I think that there's a lot of...
Gang said fuck 12, and he's a celebrity.
Okay, but...
I'm just saying, so it's out there.
Based on his experiences.
I'm saying that it's out there. And
based
we have
on
to,
his experiences.
We have to include it because other people see Game say fuck 12. Mm-hmm. So when we're speaking as a group, we mm-hmm. have to understand that Game is saying fuck 12.
Right. But Gang has probably experienced some sort of police brutality where...
I understand.
That may be a just... It's just like if you do something to me, you beat me or whatever...
Right.
From here on out, it's going to be fuck, be honest, period.
I understand.
And when I tell people the story, they're going to say, man, he's a fucking asshole.
I understand.
So it's the same thing.
But see, my problem though is when we're saying these small communities, these small things, right? The idea is we're going to say fuck 12 or we're going to protest or we're going to do all these things. And now, hey, just leave us alone. Y'all do the country thing. We're going to do this community thing after it all the smoke.
I don't think that that's what we want either though.
But listen to what I'm saying though. That's what you're just saying. You're saying.
No, it's not.
Well, you're saying we're going to do things in the community to take care of the smaller local level things. But what I'm saying is there has to be something on the larger level because we are a global community. We're not going to have the ability to just pick up the pieces if the government is not protecting us. So
okay,
now
so,
that, if it's a new government, fine. Who is it? What is it going to be? And have we planned any of that out?
Okay. I don't think that that's what people want or necessarily are asking. I think that we want the police, but we want to be able to feel confident that the police are there to protect us and right. not to hurt us. I think that we don't necessarily have to change our system. It just has to become an equitable, equal system where everybody has like some stake in the game and one person is not looked at less than the other. And that's right. why I say some of these smaller steps where we are having, you know, we are providing counseling and proper education to our children so they want to go to college so they're not on the street.
Right.
So that, you know, like your friend who felt like, oh, I'm never going to get out of this neighborhood. We need to do the things on that level to keep them from wanting to be in the street
right.
so that they can take advantage of all of these programs that are available to, you know, so I'm saying I don't think the structure necessarily has to change. It just...
How can we continue? The people who are in charge of the structure have a way of being. And if they're
dropping off bricks and they're
I don't know if that's true. That's to me that's rumor and that
what
may
are the
isolated.
What are the odds of the come on baby like I've,
no I'm saying you think okay so you think Trump is dropping off bricks?
I don't know who
exactly.
It could be police. It could
okay,
be
okay. But let me tell you what the police are also saying. Right, the police are also saying that in New York last night they got to the point where they're just overwhelmed. They're just tired.
A police officer got ran over by a car and killed it last night
because what they're saying is that on Fifth Street somebody's looting a store. Mm-hmm. Oh wait a minute. We need to request some backup. So all of them run to Fifth Street. But then on 8th Street, somebody's breaking into a bank. So
but
now
have
we
you also seen the videos of the police officers breaking
on,
the store
hang
windows?
Hang on. Okay.
With no protesters in sight?
Hang on.
Yeah.
But you're talking about police officers, and I'm talking about the police force.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? You're talking about police officers.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the police force. When the police force is saying, we need help. So when they say they need help, guess who the help is?
The National Guard.
The government.
Okay.
So when the government comes in, this is the same government coming in to stop these looters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you think that if at some point it's gonna click like, oh yeah, we have been doing these guys wrong. We're gonna pull back and we're gonna start doing it a different way. You guys handle your little small communities and we're gonna just protect the you see what I'm saying?
No,
that's not realistic.
I don't see what you're saying because I think that you're misunderstanding my point. I'm not saying get the government out. I'm saying make the government fair.
You're not listening. I'm saying the government is not going to change. They've been doing this for hundreds and hundreds of years.
Well, the point of the protest is to get some change.
Right.
The point of the riots is not necessarily what we need, but at the same time, I do, like I was saying the other day, like I'm not encouraging looting or whatever the case may be, but if some of these larger companies are taking hits or some of these richer or whatever are taking hits because of this type of behavior, that could potentially influence them to invest in the change as well. So when you have big corporations like, you know, Killer Mike was talking about with Coca-Cola saying, hey, this apartheid stuff in South Africa, we don't agree with it. If you don't pull out, we're going to stop supporting X, Y, and Z. You know, like I think
right.
that it takes those big fish to say, yo, look at this. Like, this doesn't make sense. And I'm not saying abandon the community. I'm not saying, because even if you go to a black community or Black Wall Street or whatever the case may be, there was a police department there. It was just fair. It was the same people. I'm saying I don't want to be in danger and not be able to call the police to come in. come and shoot a nigga up off me. I'm saying I want to feel like when they come that they're not going to look at me and the perpetrator who's hurting me equal.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that what's happening in New York, for instance, just for instance,
yeah,
is absolutely what's going to make the change. Because when the police force gets overwhelmed and then the Army or National Guard or whoever comes in, they get, mm-hmm. they're going to get overwhelmed too. And so I think that you may be wrong. And I think there's a very good possibility that once the, for instance, and I, you know, it just has to go back here.
Yeah.
Slave field, slave plantation.
Okay.
There'd be a couple of overseers, master or two, and their family, and then there'd be hundreds of slaves on some of those plantations.
Okay.
If the slaves figured out a way and understood that they could be free right now,
yeah,
they could have been right then.
Right.
And for those people who were in that area, it'd be over with. Now, maybe they would have called in reinforcements later or whatever, but mm-hmm. for the very short time period of right now, it would be over with for them.
Okay.
So what's happening in New York is that they are being overwhelmed because New York is what? How many million? 20?
A lot.
10 million people? Between 10 and 20 million people.
Okay.
A very big group of those people are sympathetic to, and we're talking about New York City, not upstate, just New York City. A big group of those people are sympathetic to the problem. They're empathetic to the hurt and the struggle.
All right.
So it is very possible that that can happen. So what I'm saying is that I know that you don't want it to because you want it to be...
That like, what can happen?
That this can be overturned in a way where it's going to require new leadership and a new direction. So you're saying that we don't... Hold on.
No, I'm asking a clarity question. You're saying that you think I might be wrong where this could turn into like a split society?
No. I think that you are saying that we don't want the police to not come protect us and we don't want the government to change. We want to just be equal. Or equitable. We want
a society, a balance. You know, like we want to just be treated fairly.
I understand. Who doesn't want that? But right. I'm saying that that is maybe not what you get when this happens.
Okay.
Because what happens...
You think we get what?
I think that there's no end to it. And that's where the problem lies, is that because there's no plan, and that idea doesn't have a barrier or a guideline, that means that when people go into New York and they start overwhelming police, at some point, there's going to be a conflict. And when that conflict happens, honestly, I believe that there are more people than there are police and military people.
There are, of course. There's only a portion of us that
are. So it literally could flip. But uh-huh. once it flips, then what? You see what I'm saying? And,
yeah,
and you don't get to say, "Hey, police, come back and protect our houses now. Government, come back and watch the foreigners, make sure they don't come and take our land."
But see, the thing about it is, if it flips, then there's no police for the police either. Like they're us now.
They're us now.
But exactly, and so I'm just saying, like, because it almost sounds like you have like a mind state that it's already like fucked up. You're like, I don't think this is gonna happen because there's
What's
no.
Gonna happen?
Like, I don't think that change is going to happen because it's already fucked up. But I'm like, so do you just not like try to fight? Do you just not like try to speak up? Do you not just try to organize and come up with a plan? Do you not do nothing?
There's the word, but there's none of that.
Maybe you're just not in the plan meeting.
Oh,
or maybe you're not going. Right. I hate the fact that even rhymed with clan. It makes me want to fucking vomit because I said a plan meeting. No, but yeah, I'm just saying. I think that there probably are people getting together and talking about things, but we are here trying right. to talking to each other. You know right. what I mean? So maybe we just don't know. But because I feel like you can't be so open with it when you are making your plan. Like it has to kind of be a little like incognito because then it could get messed up. So,
well, for you though, for Kit, how does that affect you though? So you're just gonna
going
to trust these people to make a closed door meeting about your future. You see what I'm saying?
Well, at the end of the day, I have to trust someone to do it. So right now, yeah. I just do my elected officials and hope that they are doing things in their best interest and they're representing themselves in the appropriate way, and who they say they are is who they really are. I do the same thing with you. I do the same thing with everybody that I interact with. So no matter if it's a new government or the old government, I'm going to have to trust whoever's in charge to be doing things for in my best interest.
And the only reason you're not trusting the ones that are there now is because you feel like they're not looking at you equally.
Well, I just feel like they've been showing me that I am not equal.
Yeah.
I am not as valuable. I am not what, I mean, you freaking can adopt a black child for a lot less money than another child. So, I mean, it's literally not equal.
Yeah.
You
but know, so. I don't know of anything in the world that's equitable and equal. Nothing.
Well, I'm just saying, but this is a large imbalance to where things are, you know, like this is something that's happening around the world and right. You have people around the world who are speaking up for it. You see the signs in the UK, like the UK is not innocent and they're listing 1,500 names of black people. You know what I mean? So right. it's a plague that has affected our entire country. I'm just saying that I want to eventually be in a place where I do feel that I'm valued, that I can trust, you know, like the people who are in those places
right.
to protect me and my children and my future family. You know, like it's
right.
It's all disheartening to just watch everybody, you know, around the U.S. And like, you know, we live in Atlanta, which is a very different kind of place.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next was, how do you feel? Do you not trust the government that we have in Atlanta right now?
That's a complicated thing. Because it's like, I rock with Keisha. Like, I feel like she's like a black mama. Like she, when COVID was happening, when other things are happening, like we have so many programs that, and we, you know, both of you and I can like talk about for the other people, but it's just like Atlanta is a different place where black people have the ability to come here and prosper. You know what I mean? And so it's just like when I'm seeing Atlanta getting jacked up or like, you know, like the police, you know, it's like one video will be like a police officer like dancing with the crowd because he's from Campbellton Road. You know what I mean? And he knows half of these protesters. And then the next video will be, you know, like the National Guard coming in and blowing up, you know, protesters that are being peaceful in Centennial Park. And it's just like,
not blowing up, tear gassing.
But you know what I'm saying.
Well, no,
okay, let's be specific because yeah. This is a, you know, I don't want to like create like a false narrative. But I think that Atlanta is a different place, especially for black people and minorities, because like you can come here as an Asian person, you can come here as a black person, as a Hispanic person, and literally like thrive yeah. in Atlanta. And you know, you see a Bentley on the street and there's a 50-50 chance that it's a white person or a black person. It's not like
see who on the street?
A Bentley or oh, a right, Rolls right. Royce
no,
or
I
something.
I think I would actually say it's more percentage of a black person.
More likely. Yeah.
I would say about 80% black, 20% white in Atlanta.
I think that it's almost like you don't understand your place in the world here. Or in the U.S. maybe, because, you know,
perceived some, place.
Right, not, right. Not yeah. the place where you should be. But right. I'm just saying, like, but then when you go.
Well, hold on. Let's stay in Atlanta. 80%, I would say 80% of our police. I need to check that demographic. Mm-hmm. I think that our police force is highly black as well. Black and Latino.
I was talking to one of our daughters the other day, and she said that in her whole life, she's like, I think I've only seen maybe like 3 white cops.
Right.
And she's 20. You know what I mean? So it's just like, yeah. This is a very different place. And so the police officers that are here are from here. They live here.
But, okay,
they,
so check this out.
And in Atlanta, I haven't had any negative experience with a black police officer at all.
But like, check this out. There are people who are black outside of Atlanta who feel like we're the house nigga. And that's why we have this mass is good to me mentality. Because we're in
the
this.
The mass is good to me, like don't tear up our city?
No, like
mentality?
Like everything is okay here. Like this is, you know, you can get ahead. You can come here and do what you got to do. You know what I'm saying?
Put your nose down.
I know, but listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There are black people outside of this city who feel like we are the house nigga because of that. We're the ones who are singing mass's praises because in our house, we get better benefits and we have, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe we just do a little bit better about who we elect into office. Maybe right. we do a little bit better about what we had.
I've never had a white mayor ever in my entire life.
Right. And so I think that, right. And so I think that it's not necessarily like a house Negro thing. It's kind of like go where you're wanted, you know, until we right. can find some sort of a balance. So it's like if Black Wall Street was a thing today, if Blackieville or whatever it is that you call it was a thing, would you want to go there if where you lived was a place where they didn't treat you well? Or would you say, no, I have to stay in this other place to make a point that my life matters? Like, I think both of those people are important, but at the same time, like, you can't be the only one there. Like, you have, that has to be a plan. Yeah. Like, it has to be a group. It has to be a force. But like, if that place existed, I would go there. And it sucks that Black Wall Street was only a thing for 12 years until they burned it down. But I'm just saying, I'm sure for that 12 years, those people felt like,
right, like we figured it out. We got it.
Like,
we,
this
we
is
got something.
Freaking great. Like, yeah. I'm here and I feel valued. My people are here. Like, everything, you know what I mean? Because it's like, it's almost like you don't want us here. We separate and then you freaking destroy it so we can come back. Like, this sucks.
You know what's crazy is that, like, when you think back to how long, how short, the short time between today and then, civil rights.
Oh
it
my gosh.
It seems like it was no time at all.
I just talked to Britt Renee about this today where I said, our parents were children when Martin Luther King got killed.
Right. But when you think about how long ago Black Wall, it seemed like it was forever ago.
Right.
And they're really not that far apart in the grand scheme
years.
Of things. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it just...
I mean, that's like almost your life. Like, that's not that long.
Right.
You know, when you think about 50 years between something like that happening and, you know...
So let's advance this.
Yeah.
I do want to go to the protest.
Peacefully?
Today. I would like to go today. If this AC guy comes in time to fix this AC.
Oh, Jesus.
I would like to go.
For what? In the daytime?
Yes.
Before curfew?
Yes.
Peacefully?
I would like to go. Yes.
See, here's my issue. And this is one of the things that I talked to one of our kids about today who says she wants to protest. She's going after work.
Right.
And I was just like, can you just go tomorrow during the day when it's still
time to get to your car.
Right.
And go
when
home.
It's still peaceful before, because at 4 o'clock yesterday, people were getting tear gassed, you know? And so you're going at 5:30, or can you maybe not go, downtown and find another place where they're having a collection? Because I
but
feel
let me
like,
tell you why.
Okay, but wait, I'm just saying, And this is me, like, immediately going into, like, fear mode. Because I'm just like...
I see you.
Because if something happens to my child, like, what the heck? Like, I literally could start crying right now, but I'm not going to. But I'm just saying that. So I'm trying to say, okay, if you must, please try to do it the safest way possible. So going in the middle of the day now, it's, you know, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, okay. Because I feel like it's still going to be... kind of peaceful. Curfew is at 9, you know, and I'm telling her, like, please make sure that you're there early. I'm asking her, do you have sneakers? Do you? And she's like, I have sneakers.
Don't be trying to dress cute and
no,
look
she,
like
yeah,
your
she's
normal
like,
little
I have,
eclectic self.
Sunglasses, milk, water, like, and but I'm just saying, like, you have to go there with all of that stuff because you know that that's what's on the table for you. Like, just go tomorrow. But her and, you know, like the boyfriend and the friends or whatever, like they're all going and they're all young and they're all in that same phrase and they want to let their voices be heard. And it's like, how do I'm like pleading with her.
I'm
and she says,
me. I'm talking about me. You're talking about her.
Yeah. Because she's saying the civil rights parents probably tried to keep their kids home too.
Well, no. What I'm seeing is.
Why do you want to go?
Because just like in New York, when police are saying we're overwhelmed, I need that to be here too. I want them to be overwhelmed to the point where they don't know where to like stay. I don't want them to.
You don't know any police?
Yeah. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying I want to go hurt somebody. I want to go peaceful protest. I want them to be overwhelmed with it all. Like, I want them to feel like they don't have anywhere they can set up because.
So that they can just go crazy?
No. Because, well, I don't plan on going crazy.
So you're saying you want them to be overwhelmed with the peace and the solitude where they have to feel the message?
I want them to be overwhelmed with the outreach. I want them to be overwhelmed with the response. I want them to be overwhelmed with the visual. I want them to see that. I want them to see that there are far too many of us to not pay attention to us.
But do you not think that our 75% Black police force isn't already overwhelmed with the fact that they have to go out and be the enemy even though they are the same? Like, when they're off the clock, they are us.
But if you just say, hey, your mom videoed your football game, so I watched it, it's not the same as just showing up. It's a difference when you show
when
up.
When you're there,
your kid looks back over at you and sees you there, and they're like, you know, now I got to play harder, now I got to do this tackle. And I'm not talking about our kids, so you're missing the point if you think that.
No,
what I'm saying is that I want our government, I want our force to see, I don't want them to have me to watch it on CNN and call in my response and call in my efforts. I want them to be able to look over there and see me on the sidelines, know that I'm watching. And of course, they don't know me by myself. They don't know who I am individually, but they know me because I'm part of a greater thing. And the greater thing is so overwhelming that there's absolutely no way that they can continue to figure out, we got to get a strategy to stop the protesting. We got to be hard. Like Trump actually said in the meeting with the governors.
I don't even want to fucking talk about that.
Trump actually said in the meeting with the governors, so you don't have to respond. He said that they have to act hard, fast and hard, and it needs to be like, you know, definitive. And because if you play pussy with them, you're going to get fucked. That's what he basically said.
You got to dominate.
You got to dominate, right.
Okay. So fuck that.
No, but listen. But when that's the sentiment, and I don't know how many governors went for that or not. But what I do know is that if that's the sentiment on the, for lack of better words, the other side, because I don't think it's another side. They're Americans too. If that's the sentiment on the side, then there has to be an overwhelming response of peace on the other side. There has to be an overwhelming response of response.
Okay, but what about this? So I hear you. I get it. You know, like I want to just be a part of the Let me finish.
I don't want to be a part of it. They need for me to be a part
of
it.
Do you not feel like you having this platform is a way for you to spread the word, make a difference, whatever the case may be? If you chose to talk about the things that were going on or whatever the case may be on this platform, I mean, you know that you have listeners in.
Well, we already do. Black on Both Sides does that.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. But how are you going to do that if you're dead? How's Black on Both Sides going to go out if you accidentally get shot by a rubber bullet and your eye gets popped out, or you get accidentally mistaken by someone or shot because some idiot behind you decided to shoot or whatever the case may be, when you have the ability to make a big difference by staying your ass home and putting this podcast out every week?
But you can do both.
But if you do the other one, you could stop yourself from being able to do the other one.
Possibly, but I lessen my chances by going in the daytime and being gone before curfew.
But you eliminate your chances by staying your ass home.
No.
Yes.
No, there's no guarantee that they don't come just take all this shit over.
Well, then that wouldn't matter either way.
Right.
But if you go out, this is a lane of resistance. So you don't have to be there. This is a lane of resistance.
Right. No, that's true. I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is, though, there's nothing like that's. But again, that's calling it in. There's nothing like
that's
going
not
to your,
calling it in.
That is that's
you,
not.
You, this you this show goes up at your kid's everywhere.
Game, you show up at your kid's game and they look over on that sideline. Now, in the moment, right now, real time, they're feeling that adrenaline pump because they feel supported. And now when they go and they do that tackle or they score that basket or whatever, it's a real time right now thing that
I feel
propels
you.
Them to be greater
please
than themselves.
Please don't feel like I don't feel you. Like I have, of course, thought about everything that you're thinking, all of the feelings that you're feeling about wanting to just go out and just for a minute, like just put my foot on Peachtree Street, like I'm with y'all, like you know what I mean? Because I mean honestly, like I'm overwhelmed, like right. Every day watching this on the news, like watching these people, like watching these children, watching these adults, watching old people, like why am I still protesting for this? Like all of this, all of the brutality that I'm seeing on my timeline after all of the deceit and the evil and everything, like the way that my emotions are set up, like this is beating me the fuck down.
I don't want to talk badly about anybody who's out there, including looters, rioters, whatever. But let me tell you something that really, really pisses me off.
What?
What really pisses me off, and hopefully this platform that you're saying reaches so many people, I hope they hear this if it's one of them. I really hate, and I'm not going to put a color on it because people always want to put a color on the person. I don't want to put a color on the person because it's not all white people.
Okay.
I really hate seeing a group of protesters standing up in front of a police barricade with shields and whatever. Mm-hmm. And there are people who are in striking distance of the police. They're in baton distance of you know, a second.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
And then
those
there's somebody from the back that throws something. Those are white people. I don't know that they're white people.
It doesn't matter
it's
who
not,
it is.
Oh, I've seen black people throw things too.
Right.
My point is anyone that would allow a woman to stand up in the front of the line within striking distance of a police officer and then throw something
and
past
then agitate
her
the police.
So that they decide to shoot a tear gas bomb right in that girl's face or that guy's face.
Right.
You are a fuck boy or a fuck girl and you deserve to be beat up.
Yeah.
You're not only hurting.
Right. You're instigating.
You're not only hurting the cause.
That person's
You're
death.
Hurting that person. There is a person who's going to pay for you throwing something from the back of the crowd.
Did you see the video of the black boy who was standing in front of the kneeling in front of the police, and the girl, the white girl, jumped over the thing and ran in front of him and kneeled in front of him?
I didn't, but I've seen other things
and,
like that.
And so it's, to your point specifically, you know, like the police were walking and she was standing there, she didn't move. And so the police officer's trying to like pick her up and move her and she's not getting up. So they tapped the black boy on the shoulder, like, get up, y'all need to walk by. So she's standing there. The white girl has her hands up. She's standing with her back to the police facing the black boy and he's facing them. Then all of a sudden, a water bottle hits the police barricade right next to her head. And she just puts her hands up immediately because she felt like danger. Like, it like slapped right next to her. Now, What if more bottles started coming and then they decided to rush the crowd?
They would have fucked her up.
Her and the boy she was trying to protect, they would have gotten destroyed, trampled, probably killed.
Well, and all the details haven't come out yet about David McAtee, but I was telling the show yesterday,
the shop owner?
The barbecue owner.
Yeah, and sorry for his
somebody
family.
Shot at the police. And, you know, I guarantee the person who shot was not by the police.
And wasn't hurt.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's like somebody lost their life because you decided to be reckless.
And to me,
we have to take care of each other out there.
To me, that and to police as well, because they're doing something that they probably don't even want to do. Look, in Atlanta, it's obvious because you see in Atlanta, you see the times when they break down and start doing stuff like dancing and stuff.
And they're kneeling
in Atlanta.
Yeah.
The police are kneeling in Atlanta. They're dancing in
the crowds. They're joking with the crowds. They're talking to them, you know, like, because they're regular people.
So
right.
You know that the police also do not want to be here. They
also, I don't know if you know, but one of our other daughters, her friend's brother is in the National Guard.
Yeah.
And
a friend that's in the National Guard.
He was posting on his social media last night saying, like, y'all, like, please don't hate me. Like, but I have to come out here and do this. And like, I mean, he's like videoing himself, like when they're on the way, saying that, you know, when the National Guard comes out, don't automatically try to attack them because it might be me.
No, but look though, check this out.
And I mean, he grew up here. He knows our, it's.
Check this out though. You were saying all the lanes to resistance are not the same.
Right.
Who's to say being a cop isn't a form of resistance?
It is. If you can be one of those people who will speak out when something bad is happening. I posted a video on my social media. I know I keep interrupting you, but it's like where there was a guy who was arresting someone and the police officer put his freaking knee on the guy that they was arresting neck. And people are screaming, da, da, da. And the officer who was with him helping to detain the guy moved the guy's knee. Off of his neck. And I was just saying, something that simple could have prevented all of this from happening.
How about the black lady cop who the big, really big white dude was fucking some girl up or something?
She was on her knees and he pushed her. And she came behind him
and
like, oh, hell
no. And she was giving him that shit and move him. And he didn't know what to do. He had never seen anybody resist him
that
was on the force.
Because she said she was on the floor with her hands up. Why did you push her?
And he could hear her yelling.
Yeah.
But so what I'm saying is that we're sitting here throwing bottles at police officers who may be our allies.
At a certain point, they are the only ones. Because if you have someone who has a gun, who is threatening towards you, who wants to hurt you, whatever the case may be, and you're trying to stop that police officer
with a rock or a water bottle.
No, but you as a cop are the only one who can match his force at that moment.
Right.
Unless you're a civilian in the street who's police trained, a cop can say, hey, do this. And that cop will have to know, like, if I try to pull this gun and shoot this cop could shoot me back. You know what I mean? So
not just that. Okay.
They're the only ones who can help us sometimes.
So our friend who's is in A school now.
Yeah.
And our daughter's friend, who was actually the National Guard right now. First Alley Cat is some form
of... And he had to respond in Atlanta.
Right. So here's the thing, right? Those people, I don't know if people know what the National Guard is, but those people are not even full-time soldiers most of the time.
Right.
Most of the time, they work in banks and in Walmart and doctor's offices and, you know, IT people.
Right.
And then one weekend a month...
school coaches and stuff.
And one weekend a month, they go and they drill for the National Guard. And 2 weeks out of a year, they go and drill. Until something like this happens when they get mobilized.
Right.
Now they go from their doctor's cloak to a uniform overnight.
Right.
And now they're in the middle between you and the government.
And potentially the day before they got called and they got orders, they were downtown.
They may have been downtown.
Protesting with you against the injustice. And so it's a complicated situation for a lot of people to be in. But at the same time, it's just like, but when you have motherfuckers that are tearing stuff up, I get it. It's like, this is the only way Atlanta makes money. Our tourist stuff, like, not the only way, but you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how we make money.
But that's the two
You can't
things.
Ruin it. But you that, can't destroy our city.
But those are the two reasons why, though, Kit. That's why I want to go. Because I know that that National Guard person was me yesterday. And I also know that if we have all these people looting and rioting, there has to be a balance.
Can we please just go clean up the day after? Not protest.
Yes,
but
we can go clean up the day after.
I would love to do that. That we can just, if they tear something up on the news, we'll go down and volunteer and clean up glass and clean up a store. And I would rather us do that because I feel like that's a part of us supporting our community. But no, protesting, no. No.
I do. Not agree, but we can table it and talk about it another time.
Whatever. I'm going to win this.